compassionate. I think about Job. Job had everything taken away from him, and his children died, and all these troubles. But yet, he didn't charge God foolishly. He had a poor spirit. He just accepted whatever happened to him. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whereas the Lord gave it back to him later. Could never give those same children back, but the Lord blessed him. But you know, no matter what happens to us in life, if I could compare some of my own experiences in life, I've had all kinds of different experiences in my lifetime. I've been way down in finances, and I've had more a surplus. I've had different things happen to me. I've had where it was all taken away. I've had where they were taking an offering. I mean, I just had a little bit left years ago, and the Lord would call for me to give it. So I've experienced all kinds of things, and I realize that the Lord wants us to be poor in our heart and have an attitude, no matter what state we're in, to be content and be happy and be godly and have a good attitude and have a poor in spirit heart and be compassionate. And it was very long ago, I was, you know, these ringers that are ringing for Salvation Army, I would go by there and I would drop some in the offering, and then I'd maybe go somewhere else and there'd be another one. And well, I just give in the offering, but Lord, well, I'd give some more and give some more. And I didn't think much about it, but I just kept thinking, you know, well, we should give. This is a good work. Salvation Army is a good work. Then I come across this lady, and I was talking to her a little bit, and she says, "You see this hot chocolate?" She said, "I was standing here, and these two girls went and got me a hot chocolate and brought it back to me." And she said, "It just made my day." She said, "It just made my day." She said, it just made me so happy. And just, she said, "They just don't know what they did for me." And you know, I thought, I hadn't really thought so much about the people that are ringing the bell. You know, they're standing there in the cold for a long time. And that would be good for us to be compassionate and do something for them. And this attitude about being poor in spirit, being humble and caring for others. And, you know, Jesus was that way. He cared about people. He went around doing good, and he was compassionate to people. He took time. Even when the little children came to him, the disciples said, "You don't have time for them. Send them away." And sometimes little children can, you know, really act up in things and do things that they don't even mean to be naughty. They just do things. But, you know, Jesus said, don't send them away. You know, he was just so compassionate, so loving. And we just find ourselves in different situations in life. The Lord can help us to be poor in spirit. And also, we're very needy. Spiritually, we need the Lord. No matter, you know, you can't trust in anything in this world. You can't trust in anything because things can change and things, bad things can happen to us. And, you know, we just have to trust in the Lord. And we have to be poor in spirit is begging God for graces. Having an attitude of humility and needing the Lord. We just need the Lord to help us. We can't do these things without the Lord. We need God's help. We can't trust that we've been saved so many years that I can't fall. It said, when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. And we can't get proud about being saved so long. We can't get proud about that. We've got to keep humble and be poor in spirit and say, Lord, keep me saved to the end. It says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. We have examples of good examples in the Bible. We have bad examples. But we realize that humanity is not to be trusted, and our flesh is not to be trusted. We are to keep humble and beg for God. Keep humble And the publican, you know, and the Pharisee was more like, well, you know, I fast twice a week and I give my alms and I'm such a good person. Surely God's looking down upon me with favor. But the publican was more like, be merciful to me, God, and help me out here. And he said the publican went down to his house justified rather than the other one. And so anytime, you know, we just ask the Lord to help us, Lord, help us to keep attitude of humility, Lord, and realize that we're gonna make it with your help. It's not that we have to be fearful that we can't make it. We can make it, but we need to keep this poor in spirit. I remember Brother Austis Wilson. I got to know him at the end of his life. He was pretty old when I got to know him and his wife a little better, and he moved to Shawnee and had to be around him a little bit more. And Brother Austis, he was trying to help me, and then he died. But anyway, he was trying to help me, and I really appreciated things he told me. But one thing he said, remember that humility will get you out of any problem you're in, but you've got to humble yourself. He said that one thing he taught me, and the one time I said to him, I said, Brother, I think somehow seemed like we were talking. I might not get it just right, but it seemed like, well, Brother Austis, you preached so many messages. And, you know, if you go down there in Texas there, Brother Darrell's congregation, they have a list of his tapes, and you can get them online, too. I don't know how many there is. Is there hundreds? I don't know, but there's many. Their Brother Austis did a lot of Bible studies and teaching and preaching, and he was greatly used of God, but he was just a man that the Lord used. It was the Lord working through him. I say just a man. I don't mean to, you know, what I'm trying to say is he was a man with God's grace, with God's spirit upon him. That's what he was used of God. And I remember asking one time, Brother Austis, many times you preached, do you feel like, did it get easier? Did you feel like, you know, well, done this so many times, you know, I'm going to get up and do it again. I mean, did you feel like it was easier for you after a while? And he said, I never got over no matter how many times he preached, every time he got up to, he never got over being dependent upon God and being a little bit, you may say, nervous at first, you know, just really dependent on the Lord and expecting the Lord to help him out. He never got over it. After all those messages, all those years, he always felt poor in spirit, always felt like he needed the Lord. And this is what we're going to encourage us tonight, that no matter how long we've been saved, we are beggars to God. We're beggars of his graces. Beggars that we don't slip up and make a mistake and do our very best because we need the Lord. Job 23 and 16, we don't have to turn to that, but it says there, Job says, God maketh my heart soft. The Lord is wanting to make our heart soft. And, you know, I notice sometimes, you know, in business meetings, we all have different ideas sometimes. And all didn't have different ideas. Some of us all agree on one idea. Maybe those agree on another idea. But, you know, that's the way we are. We're just, God made us that way. If we can just bear with one another and accept each other for the way God made us, we all think differently because that's creative thinking. You know, it's wonderful that God placed different ones in the congregation because what I'm lacking, you have. Maybe what you're lacking, I have. But we all supply that. And we all have different ideas. And, you know, I know it's creative thinking. And I think of it this way, that because we all have different ideas, so we can all kind of put them in a basket and then kind of sift and then maybe come out with the best idea, you know. But it's okay that we are different if we can just be humble about it and work together in this meeting that's coming up. If we can do our part and do our very best. And, you know, I just look at the different ones, and it's wonderful how God works with different ones. And the different ministers that will be coming, that, you know, it would be really hard for one minister to do all the preaching. Wouldn't it be hard on them physically in every way? But the Lord supplies every need that we have. But we need to pray down those blessings. And so the Lord wants us to be poor in spirit, to be needy. And God, I need you. I need your graces. And we want to go on now to the next beatitude. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Godly sorrow. You know, I don't think anybody in here that's been saved a long time, you've made some mistakes. And I'm not talking about sin. We live free from sin, but we're human and we make mistakes. But we've got to learn how to overcome those mistakes and not let them overcome us, and to learn from them. Learn how to please the Lord better in those areas, and ask the Lord to help us, and not to be discouraged about it, but to overcome. We can mourn in a way to say, Lord, help me. Help me to get the graces you want me to have. We can mourn for others. We cry over others that have sins and backslidings. We sympathize for afflictions of others. We mourn. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, it really touches my heart sometimes when I see someone, like, you know, that is in affliction or a great need, and we mourn for them because we want them to get help. This is the spirit of Christ. When you have that kind of spirit, that is a godly spirit. That's something that God has put in you to have you have compassion for others. And you sorrow for others and their sins or backslidings. You don't rejoice. No, we don't rejoice when someone backslides or goes away or talk about them. But we reach out love to them. I know there's been times that I've just said sister and brother to someone that has left, and, you know, without even, I just love them, and I said it, so I just, it's okay. I just, you know, maybe they are, maybe they're not, you know, they've went away and done wrong, but, you know, if we'll reach out love to them and mourn for them, maybe the Lord can restore them. And so this is the spirit of Christ, to be like that, to mourn for those that are in sin, want them to come back. I was thinking about this school, these little children that were killed. You know, I just cried. I cried about it. Because, you know, what if that was one of our children or our grandchildren? It would have been horrible. You know, just horrible. And so you may not feel the very depth of their pain, but because we're human and we don't even know these people, but because we're humankind, we feel that compassion toward them because we can kind of feel how they feel, that they are hurting. And I was mentioning to Jerry, I thought, I wish we could even do something. I wish the church could send a wreath down there or something, or I don't know. I just didn't know what to do. I just thought maybe there was something we could do, but it may get lost in all the flowers and everything that wouldn't even be noticed, but it might comfort us to do something or a card or anything, but just to let them know that, you know, we're sorry. But, you know, this is the spirit of Christ, is to have that for people. We mourn for people that are in trouble and have problems, and that's what excites us to do something. I know that there's, down in West Virginia, there's some people out in, it's a church out in another state. I think it might be Tennessee, but anyway, they come down there with the young people and they paint people's homes that are free. These teenagers, they just paint their homes free for them, and they do other things, fix, you know, things that are going wrong in their houses or whatever, and they just do good. They're just a mission that they do good for others. And that, you know, it's just wonderful to have that kind of spirit, to want to do for others. And blessed, it says, I thought about Jesus. You know, you never really read about Jesus laughing, but you read about him weeping. The shortest verse in the Bible, it says Jesus wept. And sometimes the little children, you know, say that. And I think about that scripture where he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you together as a hen did her chickens, but you would not." And he cried about that. And then Lazarus, when they told him that Lazarus was dead, he cried. But different things, but you never really hear about him laughing. I don't know if you all remember that, but I don't remember reading out any of that. But I know Jesus was a happy person too, because he makes us happy and he created laughter. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying that Jesus had a mission and he had compassion and he wept and he cared. He had a really care for us to go do what he did. He really cared. He cared so much that he gave his life. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A meek person would be like quietly submitting themselves to God, to his word and to his rod. Has that Lord ever chastised you? It says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Have you ever been buffeted for your own faults? It said, if you're buffeted for your own faults and take it patiently, you'll have a reward. I say, well, no. I say, how does it say? If you're buffeted for your faults and take it patiently, what reward is that? But if you're buffeted when you haven't done anything, then the great is your reward or something like that. But anyway, when the Lord chastises, we can be meek about it and say, well, Lord, I deserved it. You know, I deserve it. I deserve it because I see myself in that test. I didn't go through it just right. And just help me, Lord. And, you know, Moses was supposed to be one of the meekest men on earth. But yet, when the children of Israel started complaining so much, and he speak to that rock. The Lord told him, you speak to the rock and the water will come for the people. But he got angry at them because they kept complaining. And so he just struck the rock. Because he disobeyed right there, he didn't get to see. He saw it, but he didn't get to go into Canaan land. And he was meek. And the Lord said, blessed are the meek. What do I think about this? I'm sure all saints have these graces. We may not have enough of them, or I'm sure we may slip up sometimes, but we have these graces if we're saved, but the Lord wants to perfect them. He wants us to have more of them. And we find ourselves, we weren't meek as we should have been. We can say, you know, humble down and say, I'm sorry, you know. And I heard a while back someone was saying, well, when you say you're sorry, it's a sign of weakness. People don't like saying that because it's a sign of weakness. Well, I don't know. I figure it's better to say you're sorry and humble down than keep right with God. You know, I hear sometimes people say too, a sign of weakness is to cry. And women are emotional and they cry more than men. And if you cry, that's a sign of weakness. And I don't know, Jerry, he's not here, if you mind me saying this, but because he thinks I shouldn't cry so much, you know, if I'm talking. So if I start to cry, sometimes he'll nudge me. God, be strong and don't cry. So, and he wants me to be strong, you know. But I'm a woman and sometimes I have tears. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I guess, you know, we need to control ourselves to a certain point or people can't hear it, understand us talking. But, you know, men, it's not wrong for men to cry. It touches my heart. Sometimes I see the brothers crying, and it's touched my heart. And sometimes I see my husband cry, and and about was not very much as he cried in our marriage, because he's a strong man. But he did cry every time our child was born. He burst in tears. And I remember this because he's just the type of man that doesn't cry very much. And so I remember when I saw that emotion in him. We're talking about the Beatitudes. There's nothing wrong with showing your emotion to a certain point. I'm just saying, you know, one time I was reading, it says, when a minister can, if it's coming from a sincere and not fake, it's all from your heart. If a minister can wet a message with some of their tears, that's all right. You know, I don't know if you've seen that. I'm sure you've seen that, some of the ministries. When it really comes from their heart, and I know that we have to control ourselves to a certain point. But, you know, anyway, we want to talk about being meek. Quietly submitting yourselves to God, to his word, and to his chastisement. Wrote this down. I would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one. You know, we should be meek. Having the rule over our own spirit. Self-control. There's a little song that we learned in Michigan, but it was self-control. It's the cutest little song, but it's about the fruits of the spirit. But we can apply it to ourselves. But if we can have rule over our own spirit, this is a great thing. And, you know, especially when we're in the heat of the battle, or if we're in confrontation and people are talking and we disagree with them, we're thinking something different. And if we can control our spirit, and there's some times I've done good at that, and there's been times I haven't. But Jesus can help us to grow in this grace, to be able to control our spirit. And that self-control, it says, the little song goes, self-control is just controlling myself. It's listening to my heart and doing what is smart. Self-control is the very best way to go, so I think that I'll control myself. It's just a cute little child song, but it says, you know, this is very true. And to be able to control, there's a scripture, I don't have it right now, but it talks about controlling our spirit. We can show displeasure without being transported into indecency of patience, and we can keep our possession of our souls. There's times that we have to even correct our little children, but we can do it in a godly way. We can have self-control in that. We don't have to get mad at them. We don't have to beat them in a wrong way. But we can spank our children in the right way, or we can teach our children in the right way, or our grandchildren. We don't have to lose our patience with them. We can have patience and love them. And one of my little granddaughters, I was telling her how much she's just so sweet and she's just so good, and I was just pouring it on her because sometimes, you know, she needs that. And later on, after I left the house, I'm trying to encourage her to be really good. She is good. But later she told her mother, she says, how come Mama tells me I'm good when she knows I'm bad sometimes? Because I feel like if you tell a child all the time, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, that's not going to be good for them. That they need to learn that they have good qualities. But you know, this is what we need to do with one another, is see the good qualities in each other and encourage that. And be meek. A meek person is very happy and very comfortable. A meek person promotes health in our own bodies. If we allow ourselves to get all emotionally out of control, And letting our troubles and tests of life overwhelm us, and just we will do wrong actions, if we quit being meek, we'll take the wrong road. But if we control ourselves, it'll promote our health. We'll have health from it. It will make us happy and comfortable. All these things. This is what Jesus said. Blessed, 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 blessed. He's trying to teach us, you are going to be so full of blessings if you'll be this way. Don't we want to be blessed? Or we're journeying through this life. You know what? We have to live anyways. You know, we're going to have to live till we die. We're going to have to make it some way. Every day we live, we face the world every day. And so if we learn how to do these things, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed. A meek and quiet spirit is, if you find people that have this kind of spirit, and I know there's many among us that have that kind of spirit, a meek and quiet spirit, they live the most easy lives. They're not out of control. They're not disturbed about things. You know, they just... I'm going to get me a Kleenex. Anyways. I think I have one here. Never mind. Thank you. I have one. But I'm sorry. You know, I was just thinking, there's things that happen every day that... I'm thinking back years ago, because I don't have any children at home now, but of course I have grandchildren that do these things when they come sometimes. You know, spilling the milk all over the table. Maybe you just get it just set perfect, and there goes the milk all over the table. Just things that can disturb our spirit. And for us to just rail on them and just say, why'd you do that? You made such a mess. You know, you're always doing this, child. You're just blah, 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 blah. That's really not a very Christian action. The best way would be just say, honey, I know you didn't mean to do that. So we're going to clean it up. And maybe you can try to be more careful next time. But, you know, we're really going to have a happier homes and happier everything if we just learn how to be meek and not let things bother us. And, I remember years ago, I was in real estate for a while with Jerry, and then I got out of it for several years. But I've always been with him in real estate, but as a realtor, you know. And anyway, there was this used house that wanted to buy one of our houses I sold, and I forgot to turn on the electric. And this lady was very upset with me. And I just remember her mother had came over, and they were going to do carpets that day. And they went, you know, I mean, it was a problem because they didn't have no electric and they couldn't do their carpets. And they, so they couldn't move in, and they were stressed out. And she was just railing on me why I didn't turn on that electric. And, you know, I thought I just had so much on my mind. I just forgot. And I don't know why I did, but I started laughing. I wasn't really laughing at her, but I was laughing at myself that I have, oh, Marcia, you forgot again. You just made a mistake, a terrible mistake. But I took it where I just kind of laughed, you know, and that made her really mad at me. And she says, why are you laughing? And I said, I'm sorry. I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing at me. And I'm trying to handle this, you know. That was the way I was trying to handle my stress, was laughing about it. But it made her madder. Ooh, made her so mad. And I never forgot that. I just thought, oh, dear Lord, help me. But, you know, there's things in life that happen. And you know, we can't change it. We flubbed up. We made a mistake. We forgot to do something. And so let's just try to just be happy and just go with the flow. I know. Oh, dear ones. I know the other day, I called my sister, and she just come back from the doctor, and she had taken that dye, and she wasn't feeling very good. And she said, here, Mom's over here. Let you talk to Mom. And she didn't talk to me very long, and it kind of hurt me, you know, at first. And I talked to Mom, and then I said, well, Mom, I'll let you go, because then her daughter had just showed up, and they just weren't really wanting to talk to me right then. And I said, so I hung up the phone, but I wasn't, like, you know, really hurt, because I know she's sick and everything, but the thought just came to me, that hurt you, and you don't call her again. Just wait till she calls you, because they don't even want to talk to you. And then I said, Lord, that's not the way to be. Help me, Lord. She's sick, and she don't feel like talking. I need to understand that. You know, that's why I'm just, we need to understand. And I said, Lord, I'm letting this go. I am not going to be hurt. I'm letting this go, and I'm going to call her as soon as I get a chance. And yesterday I was going to call her, and my sister called me. And she brought up, she says, honey, I hope you wasn't hurt because I didn't want to talk the other day. And I said, you know, I was just understanding that you were sick. And I love you, and I know you love me. And she goes, yes, 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 I was just feeling really bad because that diet she took, you know, it made her feel really bad. But see, if I'd have got a bad attitude and just, you know, and I'm bringing this example. Sometimes I don't, it's kind of hard for me to bring examples about myself because I don't want you to think, because I have made some bad mistakes sometimes. But what I'm just trying to say that, you know, sometimes we can just try to understand people a little bit better and let things go. It'll be easier for us. And the Lord teaches us these things. Try to understand and when the thought comes, oh, that's going to hurt my feelings. And the Lord wants us to be meek, and he wants us to meek and quiet, and we will live the most easy life. Okay, the next, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I was thinking about when we hunger and we thirst in the flesh, in the body. We hunger and thirst after food frequently, don't we? Have you ever ate a meal and you thought, I am so full, I will not be hungry. I will not be hungry for a long time. And after about 5 or 6 hours went by, you was hungry again. Or you wanted to eat again. And what I'm just saying is it returns frequently. Well, I'm talking about the spiritual side. We need to hunger and thirst after Jesus like that. Well, you say, well, I've been to that camp meeting. I've been to camp meeting, and I have enough. But you don't never have enough. You want more. Isn't that the way it is? You just think, oh, this is exciting. Camp meeting's coming, and what am I going to hear? What's going to go happen? And, you know, sometimes people in the world, they say, your church, I don't understand it because you don't know who's going to preach. And they say, I don't think I like that. We like to know what's going to happen. We want to know who's going to preach. We want to know who's going to sing. We want to just have our little piece of paper here to pass out. And you know everything that's going to happen every day. But with us, we trust in the Lord. And we have faith. Some people just can't understand that. You mean several ministers are there and you don't know who's going to preach. And I know sometimes we get a little uneasy. We're thinking, who is it going to be? And I know sometimes I look around and try to guess who it might be. But, you know, isn't it exciting just to stay trust in the Lord? And God gets up, and someone gets up and has a wonderful message, and you weren't even seeing them. Maybe they was way back there, you know. And the Lord just blesses. Oh, I tell you, I think the saints' way is the best way. It's exciting. And we hunger and thirst after camp meetings. We hunger and thirst after the Bible. I never get tired. I love my Bible. When I read my Bible, I can read the same verse I read over and over and over. But I still love it. I've read these Beatitudes before. And just, I can get something out of it more and more. Just keep reading it. That's the way the word is. The word is just strong and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it gives us something. And, you know, it seems like, have you ever heard the thought about people says, you know, life is like you learn something almost, something new sometimes. Maybe not every day, but you learn new things. I know this. I guess this will be all right to tell you this because it's not something spiritual really, but it's something like I learned not very long ago that just gave me, thought it was really neat that I learned this. Maybe some of you might not know, might help you, but, I love cheese and I love Parmesan cheese. And I learned that you get this fresh Parmesan cheese, and any kind of cheese that you buy in the blocks are much more healthier for you, because what they do when they, you buy it in these bags and you open it and just put it on your food, it's a lot easier. But if you read those ingredients, they have a lot of preservatives and stuff in that to keep it that way. But if you get the block and just shred it at home by yourself, it's a lot healthier for you. And so this Parmesan cheese, I learned that you take the little old-fashioned grater. If you keep that in the refrigerator and keep it cold when you grate that, that's why I didn't want to use it, because it would stick, the cheese would stick to it. But if you keep it in the refrigerator, keep it cold, when you get it out and you shred your cheese, it will not stick to it. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out, I know that's a temporal thing, but it's because we do learn new things. And in spiritual things, we can be hungry and thirsty about that, to learn new things. And that's what makes life, it doesn't get dull. It doesn't get old as we get older, because we learn things. It makes life exciting. Now, that is the way with me in my life. I like to learn new things. And about spiritual things, we want to learn what God has for us coming in this meeting. We want to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we will be filled. We will be filled brimful and running over. God's going to bless us and give us something that we need. He's going to give us that longing of our soul. Our soul is hungry. It's not that Jesus didn't do enough for us, because when he saved us, he did a complete work. But he wants us to be growing. He wants us to be challenged. He wants us to get closer to the Lord. And he wants us to be used of God. He wants us to be blessed. He wants the congregation to be blessed. He wants everyone to be blessed. And so we read his word and we study the word and we get closer to the Lord, and it helps us. He wants us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And ye shall be filled. Don't stop it. Don't stop that hungering and thirsting, no matter how long you've been saved. Have a desire to learn more. Have God to give you something new, like I learned about that cheese. Have the Lord give you a spiritual blessing that's new. That's fill my cup, Lord. Give me something that's new and refreshing. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I need your help. I want this camping to be blessed of God. I want you to pour down a blessing on it, Lord. And just pray that way. And not only say, Lord, thank you for a blessing. And by faith, I'm thanking you that you're going to pour out us wonderful blessings on us, and bless and pray for the ministry, and pray for the people, and pray for the needs, that and God can just fill our cup. And if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, ye shall be filled. And we can claim that, dear ones. And we, in the name of Jesus, we can have every need supplied if we will be hungry and thirsty after righteousness. There is not one in here that has to be overcome by the devil. You know what I'm saying? There's not one in here, there's not one person that has to be overcome by anything. We can have the victory. And you say, well, I remember reading about two sisters that sat on the front bench, a message was going forth, and the one sister started saying, oh, praise God, praise God. And the other sister knew her life, because she was close to her, and she said, you're not measured up to that. Quit praising the Lord, because you're not, you're not living right. And she says, I am now. I am right now, because I'm measuring up right now. And that's the way we can be. We don't have to be overcome by the enemy. We can be overcome the evil with good. We can be good. We can be righteous. We can be holy. We can be everything God wants us to be. We just need to ask the supplier, Jesus. He can give us all these beatitudes he's preaching about here. He can have it work in our life. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. This has been one of my favorite scriptures. When I got saved, I used to quote it to the Lord all the time, because it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I used to do that when I first got saved, because I still do But I used to quote that scripture to the Lord quite often because I just felt so needy. I felt like, I mean, I wasn't raised with the saints and I didn't know a lot of things. And I just, oh, it was just kind of overwhelming me at first. And I said, Lord, I just hunger and thirst after your righteousness. And you promise if we hunger and thirst after your righteousness, we will be filled. And so I would use that scripture right there to open my eyes to everything I need, Lord, and help me. And, you know, isn't that wonderful that we can be filled? Blessed are ye. It says, the next one, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Merciful people are happy because they're inclined to pity others. And they help people in misery. And I wrote down a few things up. They see people and they pity people and they want to help them. And the love of God is evidence in their life when they're merciful. And they want to help other people in need. And I know we're living in a world we have to be careful about this because, you know, people stranded on the side of the road, things you don't know what kind of people they are. But you can call for help for them if you're not sure. But the Lord can help us to be merciful. You know, I was thinking sometimes during a meeting, instead if we see a young mother with a little baby and maybe she's got two or three other little children and they're crying, the baby's crying, and you know, sometimes you'll see people look around like, why didn't you take that baby out? Or why don't you, you know, she's crying and causing trouble. But you know, we really probably need to do better. We probably need to maybe go help that mother. You know, maybe relieve her for a while and take the baby out ourselves. And just say, you stay in there and enjoy yourself and I'll help with the baby. I don't know. I'm just trying to give us some ideas, you know, that have a merciful spirit instead of judging and say, you know, your children are always unruly and you don't correct them at home. That's how come they don't act right at church. Instead of thoughts like this, you know, don't think that, but think the poor little lady, she's got all these children and her hands are so full. I'm going to help her. I'm going to be merciful. Well, we could think about some other things that to be merciful to each other. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I want the Lord to be merciful to me. And, you know, we may not think that God looks at like things like that, but he does. He is looking. I was just thinking about, I remember one of the sisters one time told me, and she's a minister's wife, but she says, Sister, I think it was biscuits. She says, Sister Marsha, I remember when you made me some biscuits. I said, what? She said, yeah, years ago you made me some biscuits. And we were in the congregation with them at that time. I just can't remember doing those biscuits. But she just raved on them. She just loved them so much, you know. But, you know, what I'm just saying that we just pass through our life and we do things and we don't really think about it. But God is watching us. And he sees when we're being merciful. You know, it's just wonderful because he sees if we're having a merciful spirit, then sometime we're going to need mercy. He's going to give it to us. He's going to send somebody to help us. And he's going to bless us, you know, if we'll be merciful. So it said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. True religion is heart purity. A pure heart, undefiled, delivered from sin, just pure in every way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see God? Have a pure heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, we can work together with Christ to bring peace. I was thinking about, have you ever been in the middle of something with two different people? You know, they said there's a side to every story. And sometimes I've been found myself in a place where there's two different people and there's something that one don't like what the other one did and the other one don't like what the other one did. And here I'm caught in the middle and I want to bring peace. Well, you know what happens to the peacemaker? What happens? You get blows from both sides. You know, they're telling you their story. You better see it my way, and then they're seeing their way. And you're thinking, Lord, help me here now to get this balanced out and to bring peace. And the Lord helps you. The Lord helps you to know, well, yeah, I can see your side there, but now I can see their side here, so we're going to put this together. And then, and you keep working with that, keep working with that. Pretty soon, the other ones, they see each other's side, and peace comes. Did you know that God said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Are you a child of God? Then you must be a peacemaker. Yes, you are. Because that's what you are, because you're a child of God. And you want peace. Do we want peace or do we want war? I wish we never had wars in the world. I don't like wars. I don't even like to hear about wars. But that's the way the world is, and we're never going to change it. Jesus said you'll always hear wars and rumors of wars, especially at the end of... But, you know, we don't have to have any wars among us. We don't have to have wars. We can have peace. We don't have to submit to wrong, and we don't have to uphold wrong, but we still can be a peacemaker as much as we can be peaceful. And it said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. I remember years ago, someone said to me, I was pretty young when I got saved. I was 18, you know, They said, why do you want to dress like an old lady? And why do you want to put your hair up like that in a bun? And they kind of made fun of me. They really did. And it really hurt me at first. And I just went to my Heavenly Father and I just started praying. I went to a room by myself. I said, God, just help me because, you know, I'm doing this for you because I want to please you. And I'm not purposely trying to do these things to look weird or anything. I just want to please you. But I was crying to the Lord, telling him all about it. And he healed my heart and he helped me to go face him again and just commit it to the Lord. And, you know, there's people that we're going to be persecuted sometime. I remember one time before one of the children was born, it's Tammy. The other two were born at home, but Tammy, this doctor was just giving me a time. And I told the doctor I didn't want anything, and he just didn't like it, you know. Just different things that, you know, it comes to your mind. I remember one time when that car accident, the doctor came in there, and I had lost a lot of blood, and I didn't want a blood transfusion. He was quite angry with me, and I kind of understand their profession and everything. You know, they want to save lives, and they're not seeing that we're having faith in God. And I understand that part, but I did want to have that blood transfusion. But I lost a lot of blood, and they thought that they had put me actually on the surgical floor because they thought my spleen had been injured in that car accident. I didn't know that right then, but they were going to maybe operate on me. I didn't know that either. But when they checked me out, they said I was okay, that it wasn't hurt. I must have just bled from being hit in the temple. I had 40 stitches inside and out, and I had lost a lot of blood. And I remember he was so angry with me, and the Lord helped me just to say, I didn't really know what to say except I just didn't want to, I was just praying, but the saints came in later and helped me to talk to the doctor, and I didn't have to have it. But, you know, we find ourselves in persecuted for our stand for the Lord. We will be persecuted sometimes because people don't understand how we have faith in God. And I remember telling the doctor, he said, I am not going to let you die. And he was quite angry with me. And I said, don't worry, doctor, I'm not going to die. And he said, well, how do you know? I said, because, you know, God has took me through. If he wanted me to die, he'd already took me in that car accident. You know, he had his opportunity. He could shoot me very easily. But he didn't want me to die. You know, that's why I'm alive. because even when they sewed up my hip inside, the doctor that night said that you barely missed going into your skull and you would have been killed. I was 29 years old at that time. He said it just barely missed going into your skull. What I think it was the gear shift that went in my head, because we had a gear shift on the floor and I went down like that. And I think that's what happened. But, you know, when I had faith in God that the Lord was going to let me live, and I said, don't worry, I'm not going to die. And my blood count started going up. My blood count went up on its own. And I just praise the Lord. So when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, blessed are you. Blessed are you. The Lord's going to bless you for that. He's going to take you through. You stay encouraged because the Lord will answer your prayers. He will. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So when these things come to us, we can rejoice and be exceeding glad, for we know great is our reward in heaven. And there's one more little scripture I wanted to leave with you before I sit down, but I just wanted to share these Beatitudes with you. It seemed like the Lord laid that on my heart. In Matthew 5:44, it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And you know, not very long ago I was talking to somebody and they said, we can't be perfect in this life. But you know, Jesus gives us a challenge to be perfect like our Father in heaven. And he sees us when we love our enemies, or we love those that maybe don't love us. And he sees that. And he said, I send rain on the just and the unjust. These farmers that are cursing God and they're not saved, they're not far from being a saint of God, he still sends them rain on their farms. He still blesses them. Can you imagine what a great God that our God is? He loves sinners. He loves them. And he just gives them goodness anyway sometimes. He just go ahead and give them blessings anyways. He lets them breathe. They live and breathe at his command too, just like we sing that song. But these sinners are living and breathing, and they're not obeying God. They're not praying to God. They're not doing what God wants. They're not obeying his commandments. And some of them are even cursing, swearing, and using God's name in vain. And he still sends them some rain on their crops. And he said here, he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if he love them which love you, what reward have ye? I want you to be above the public Pharisees. Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. When we see these, sometimes we see these young people out in the world and they're not saved, and let us have compassion. Let us show them the love of God. And, you know, if we see these ringers out there, I don't know, just coming on the Salvation Army. You know, Salvation Army does a really good work. They do. They do good work for people that are in trouble. The saints can't reach everybody, but they do good work for people. I don't think Tammy would mind me saying this, but I talked to her, I think it was yesterday, the day before. And she said, Mom, she said, we're going out to... They were giving out food to the poor, and they were giving turkeys and, I guess, hams maybe and different foods. And anyway, she went there with her children. I don't know who else was there, maybe from the church, but they were singing carols to the people as they came in to get their food. And lots of people, she said, a lot of people on the north side of town, and they were singing caroling to them. And then they were going to go to the food bank and try to help over there. And, you know, there's a lot of good organizations that there might not be with the saints, but that we could support. It's okay, I think, to give food to the poor and be a blessing. And whatever Jesus tells us to do, because, you know, they're still doing a good work. But anyway, I was just thinking about those ringers out there standing in the cold for hours on end. And, you know, maybe we could give a hot chocolate. Maybe we could. Maybe we could do that. It really made that girl's day. She was so happy. And I was just thinking, you know, these people, they might not be one of the saints, but God created them. And they're our brothers and sisters. God made them just like He made us. Oh, we know a lot more about religion than they do, but yet God still loves them. And we reap what we sow, and God wants us to be good to them. Pray for me that I'm challenged with this. I'm just sharing it with you, the Lord gave me. I feel a challenge in my own life to be more like that.